I know you wanted to bring some incense, but since you didn't have any, like, we don't have yours, but do you still want to light some? We can.
Of course.
Of course? All right. Pick your favorite. You want to do a cone, too?
No, that's too much.
No? No cone? All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay.
We have dragon's blood. The patchouli is really good. That one's really subtle.
I'm liking rain, because I've never heard smelled gotcha. Anything like that.
All right, let's do some rain. I had some coffee right before this, and now I got the shakes. I don't feel any more awake. I just feel shaky. Jeez. I'm never staying up till 4 a.m. ever again. That was rough. Let's put that in there. Did a wiggle. You want to light that? Oh, you boss. This is old incense. Does incense ever go bad? I don't imagine it does. You just burn it.
Yeah. Oh. The whole stick moved, but not the flame. Or like there.
Yeah. The flame didn't go out.
Okay. Ooh, that smells good.
Yeah, it's not a bad one actually. I don't light that one too often. I usually go for dragon's blood. Mm. Or you know those times when you open water bottles and like all the water just like squirts out because you squeeze it too hard? Okay. I was explaining to Ayush just before the podcast that I was up until 4 a.m. with Mike, and then you've heard Miles mention on the podcast. We were up till 4 a.m. working on an iridescent puzzle. and it was really hard because we had a light right over us, and so like since the puzzle is iridescent, we could like all the puzzle pieces were reflecting the light, and it was hard to see, and it was rough. And I usually was up till 4 a.m. too, apparently, just doing nothing.
Nothing.
Getting
nothing
nice. Very, very nice. So forgive us if this one's a little rough. But I'm super excited to have you on, Ayush. Actually, wait, let me count us in 3, 2, 1. Ayush Balavit. Wait, is that how you pronounce it?
That's pretty accurate, yeah.
Balavit?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is it Balavat?
No, the first way.
Oh, okay. I've known you for how long? 13 years, and I still don't know how to pronounce your last name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I had something important to say as I was going into this. We'll come back to it. How you doing, boss?
Dude, how are you?
I'm doing very well. This shirt is, the collar is kind of, like wrinkly now at this point, but dude, I started rewatching Neon Genesis Evangelion.
I saw that.
You saw that? Yeah. Have you seen the show?
No, I haven't.
What have you been watching lately?
Actually, I watched the show on Netflix, You, recently, just because people recommended that.
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
It seems like such a like a creepy show because it's about that dude who's like stalking this lady, right?
Yeah, it creeped me out a little. I was like, oh, this is a little weird at some parts.
Is it like, I don't know, it seems rapey.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Like he killed a bunch of people just because they're for the girl. I don't know, you know?
Really?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, Neon Genesis Evangelion is not like that at all. yeah, no, it's like it's like there's this weird aspect to it where a big portion of the plot is dedicated to this thing called the Human Instrumentality Project, and it's this idea that that the people in control want to like I guess it's visually represented as everyone turning into goop and merging with each other. But the basic idea is that everyone's minds are like put together and everyone is just like one being.
Oh, that's cool.
It's cool. And as I was rewatching it, it's set in 2015. Oh. Which is like that was 5 years ago. And obviously this is like a fictional show, but I see the ties with real life where, like, because Elon Musk is doing this whole Neuralink thing, right? Mm. Where everyone's going to get chips in their brain. And I know Joe Rogan likes to bring up the fact that he said that we would one day be able to communicate without saying words eventually. And And it's kind of bringing me back to this show where, like, everyone's gonna have, like, one interconnected brain that, like, we're just, like, I don't understand. This is gonna be a rough podcast. I'm not. What are you gonna be doing in college?
I'm going to the University of Texas.
What made you pick Texas?
I don't know. I apply there because they're just good for my major, computer science.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Computer science?
Yeah.
What made you pick that?
Well,
first of all, what is computer science? I hear that all the time, and I have no clue what it's about.
Usually, it's just people who go into computer science will go into, like, coding and, like, software engineering, which is just, like, making software and making, like, apps, websites, whatever, that sort of thing.
Okay, gotcha.
But I picked computer science because, well, freshman year, I just wanted money.
Yeah. Oh, wait, how much does it pay? Is that, like, why you decided computer science, or is this a completely different thing?
I'll get there. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, just keep going. So freshman year.
Freshman year, I really wanted money, and I also really liked independence, so I really wanted to be, like, oh, I want to be the next Facebook or Apple or something like that. Like, I really wanted to do that to make a whole bunch of money. And then I started maturing more, and that necessarily wasn't the goal, but I really liked the independence of starting your own business and stuff like that. But and there's a big, like, with computer science, there's, like, a big startup, like, culture. Like, a lot of people will be like, ooh, that's cool, I'm going to make an app for that. And they'll make, like, a startup. And I don't know, just, like, I feel like startups are a way to get involved and, like, make a difference in a way. Like, at its core, a business is something that gives people something that they want in exchange for money, of course.
Yep.
But if it's, like, truly innovative, it can be a new solution to a problem in a way.
Gotcha.
Like, I don't know, I'm just going to use Airbnb because that's the first thing that popped into mind. But, like, that makes people giving out vacation rentals easier. And people buying vacation rentals, it makes it easier for them. And Airbnb is, like, a middleman for that. But it's, like, a solution to a problem. I guess that one is more, like, money-making sort of way, but on the opposite end, there's one that was really cool, kind of inspired me. So, like, blind mothers can't, like, get ultrasounds and see the babies. Or just blind parents can't, like, see the babies when they get an ultrasound. So it was just, like, it was a simple startup that they applied computer science to. And they just, like, made a program that converted the ultrasound data into, like, a 3D print so that blind parents could see, in a way,
so
their child.
So it's like Braille for seeing your kid.
Yeah.
What? That's so cool.
And that one's like a nonprofit, so it's like on the completely other end. And that's just for like the sake of being good. But I feel like with business or like a startup or something like that, there's a way to actually make a product that's like innovative and makes a difference. And that's kind of the goal. But I can't necessarily rely on, oh, I'm gonna have this super cool idea that's gonna be impactful and good. So but like that's why I would pick computer science, because it also gives me like a fallback option, and like that entirely thing is there because like a lot of people in computer science are like, let's make a startup, stuff like that. But it gives you the fallback option of like software engineering, which does pay well, and hopefully I'd want to work there for like 10 years or 20 years or something like that. And then retire to try to do something more meaningful.
So is software engineering just like developing apps or like coding?
Yeah. I mean, usually you don't even do like too much. Like if you work for a big company, you'll like only like you'll write like 10 lines of code in a day or something like that.
Just really?
Like there's so much complexity and stuff like that.
Because if you just look at the source code of a website, there's just lines and lines and lines, and that's just for like a simple website. I can't imagine like developing an app from the ground up, how much code that takes.
Yeah,
So, dude, props to coders, because I remember taking STEM in, it was either sixth or seventh grade, and we did
Jeff Peterson or Lisconis?
Peterson, yeah, yeah. And he was the one who did all the coding stuff. Yeah, yeah. It was weird, because you never got to choose, like, everyone was going into STEM expecting to do, like, all the cool projects and sciencey stuff, but like half of us got put into this coding thing with Peterson, and a lot of people were disappointed, me included. Yeah. But I ended up enjoying it a bit. But we just did like HTML and Python, and it's like we just did the basics, and you start to get the grasp of it. But it's hard stuff. Like if you're trying to. And like the website that we use, like, would take you through like the whole thing, but with apps, you kind of have to like figure. You have it's like a puzzle that you're putting together, yeah, right? We were talking about working on puzzles earlier. Like you have an idea for like a piece that would fit there, but you just really kind of have to just keep trying things until you find something that fits. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, that's super cool. And going back to this thing, you said like you wanted money. You just kind of wanted money freshman year.
Yeah.
And me and Mike talked about that a little bit last week. Where I mean, going in with the intention of just getting money, it's fine because in a lot of ways, serving yourself does serve others as long as your intention isn't to hurt people. But I think going in with this idea that you are passionate about this thing, it makes it such a much more enjoyable experience. Mm-hmm. So is this idea of, you know, going into developing apps, is that like your top passion of all time, or what would you put there?
Yeah, like if I, like with the example of the ultrasound thing, like uh-huh. that's completely a nonprofit, that thing I told you about.
Yeah.
If I was doing something like that, like on the side, and I was financially comfortable enough to be doing that and have the time to do that, uh-huh. I would love that. Like, that would be the goal. Uh-huh. So that's why I would love to be making some sort of startup or something like that, that like is some sort of innovative solution to a problem. Mm-hmm. But if I can't rely on that, I would hope to retire early. Mm-hmm. Because software engineering does make a good amount of money, and then like have that financial freedom to pursue something like that.
Yeah, that's cool. And how much does like that field make?
So it kind of depends. I think the average salary is like 80 or 90,000, but also it's like really skewed because on the higher ends it is insane. Like,
really? I can imagine.
Like, actually, so I know this guy. I was visiting UT Austin with one of my friends. Lou used to live in Rockford. He moved to Austin. Mm-hmm. And so he had like several friends at UT Austin. So I was just visiting with him, and I met his friends, and like one of them was doing computer science, and he was a senior. And this was like before senior year was done. And then he already had a job lined up at Facebook. And they were paying, like, okay, so the salary is typically broken down into you get your like cash salary, and then you get a bonus. It's typically like 20% more or less, depending on how good you do that year.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the year, and then you get stock. Like you get paid in Facebook stock.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And his total compensation for his first year, right out of college, was $250,000.
What?
Yeah.
And that's 1 year.
Yeah.
Just working at Facebook. And he's like, he's one of the like coders working on like making the platform mm-hmm. more intuitive or better or and, whatever, right?
Yeah. And he had a internship there last year. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how he helped secure the job. And I was talking to him about it. And like, you know how like they combined like Messenger and like DMs from Instagram?
Yeah, a little bit.
So he was working on a team of like, I think it was like 100 people or something. Like he had like a very tiny role, and like he was just helping, doing like a little bit and like uh-huh. helping make that thing. That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
to think about
100 people, and like if we assume that each of them are getting $200,000 in 1 year, that's a lot of money.
Actually, it's also common for like people to get like raises after a few years and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like there are people in like 5 to 10 years into their salary making like 400 or 500 thousand at like some of these big tech companies. It is crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. I know like the coding field is, or like anything to do with computers is getting really, really big. And unfortunately, most people just don't know how to code there's so much opportunity there mm-hmm. too. Like there's so many places that are trying to like develop software or develop apps or whatever. And if you know how to code and if you know what you're getting into, like that is a very, very good field to get into. So do you have any idea of like any companies that you would want to work for? Would Facebook be the goal?
Honestly, like, it's super competitive to get into those, but then again, I'm lucky enough to go to like UT Austin next year, and it's a little bit easier because they're like pretty well ranked for that, and they're known for being good at that. But I know, like, if I had to pick a favorite, Google has the most amazing perks. They have
really
like, the one perk that stands out is like they have a massage center. I would be going there every day after work.
Every single day. It's just like a free massage center that you can go to anytime.
I think there's a limit. And they're discounted. But like,
okay. But
I'm still going there every day.
That's the one perk that stood out to you.
Yeah.
I remember it kind of as a joke a little bit ago. I was talking about like, oh yeah, I'll become a massage therapist and then do whatever I'm doing on the side. Dude, if I decide to go back to that, I'll go down to Google and I'll be your massage guy. Woo! Woo! No, I don't think I'm gonna actually do that. But that's super cool. Google, like, they do so many things now. Like, they do, like, they were just, like, the search engine, and now they're doing phones, and now they're doing all these other things. Like, it's crazy. And, like, yeah, I'm sure that there's a lot of opportunity with that company.
Yeah.
And, dude, you're super smart. I bet you could get into that.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, what does the, I'm curious, how much is, because, like, what's it called? UT Texas or
UT Austin?
UT Austin, my bad. how much? Because it is this prestigious school as far as that field. So I'm curious, how much is the tuition there?
Total cost of attendance, like tuition, room and board, and all that. Mm-hmm. Actually, I do remember tuition. In state, it's like $10,000.
Oh, that's not bad.
But out of state, it's like 40-ish.
Ooh,
and then total cost of attendance like goes up with room and board and stuff like that. But Texas is cool in this aspect. Almost every like state for their like state university is like really tough at getting in-state tuition. Like your whole family has to move, you have to live there for a few years, you have to work there and have proof of that. Texas is a lot more lenient because they don't have state income tax. And that's usually the reason most of these states have that rule that you have to go there and move there and work there for a few years, because then like you're kind of like contributing to that state's economy and stuff. But they only have it that they generate most of their state income through state property tax. So they have it that you have to live there for a year and buy property, and then you can qualify for in-state tuition.
Mm-hmm.
So for 1 year, I'll be paying out of state, but for the next 3 years, I'll be paying in-state tuition.
Okay, so it will that first year will be $40,000 plus whatever, but then after that, you can get that, you know, just $10,000. That's not.
But like, I'm moving to Texas for that. Like I personally am. My parents are still staying here, but I have to like get a Texas driver's license, all of that. And like live in Texas, so yeah.
Are you gonna get a gun?
Actually, when I'm an adult, like when I'm older, like I have my own home and all that, like, you know, I'm living, have a job and all that. I feel like I'd probably have a gun for safety.
Yeah, dude, I would have so many guns. Not even gonna lie. I know it's such a big debate now, like whether guns should be banned or whether like you do have that Second Amendment right to bear arms. But dude, I'm all for having guns. I know this is gonna get controversial real quick. I know how many like mass shootings have like developed just in this year. There's so many this year. I don't even know the number, but it's absurd and it's tragic. But you know, you have to look at that number of mass shootings, and it's like, okay, like actually, those don't happen as often as we think. Like, not in the sense that that number is wrong, but in the sense that okay, like these things get propped up, and like that's all we focus on. When you want to hear a crazy statistics I've heard? So the number of times that guns are used for self-defense in the United States, are the lowest estimates are 80,000 times, and the highest estimates are 5 million times per year.
Wow.
And usually that's not, those aren't instances of like guns actually being shot. It's usually, you know, someone sees a sketchy character or like someone thinks they're going to get robbed or their life is in danger. So they whip out the gun, brandish it a little bit, mm-hmm. and scare the person off. And like, after hearing that, like that, I was on the fence a little bit about like, you know, should we have guns? Like, cause like you can use other things, but I don't know. I think similar to the drug debate, in the sense that like, you know, should we ban drugs? Will that like, cause the idea of banning drugs is that it'll keep it out of the hands of people. But in reality, like people who have ill intentions with those drugs, like whether it's cartels or whatever, they still manage to get a hold of it, whether you try to stop them or not. So in the end, legalizing it will take out the crime aspect of it, and people are more able to use it safely. And I think that same ideology can be applied to guns, in like, because I think if you just outright ban guns, people are still gonna be able to get them. There are more guns in America than there are people now.
Like, wow.
You can't. I'm sorry. It's a little too late to take that out of the system. Yeah. People aren't gonna like give those up freely, whether you want them to or not. So, like, if you just outright ban guns, no matter what, people are gonna get a hold of them. And the people who really want them, the people who really want to murder, those are the people who absolutely will be able to get them, because they are willing to go like through the back doors and get those weapons. I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
Honestly, I'm not too sure, because on one hand, I do support the right to own guns in general, but like for self-defense and stuff like that. But I think I would potentially be for banning like guns that really, really increase the capacity for people to carry out like...
You're talking like assault rifles, yeah, and yeah. like all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember hearing Biden's idea was to ban... to ban ARs, and then everything else is like pistols and rifles and like that are free game. And then also to boost the checks that are done before you buy a gun, which I'm all for. Like, there should be very thorough checks before. Like, you should not just be able to walk into a Walmart, pick up a gun, and walk out.
I don't know if you've seen those. There's this one. But like, yeah, background checks are probably the biggest thing, I would, in my opinion. I saw this video. It was hilarious, but so sad. Like, this person goes to, it was like, it was not like a stage thing or anything. They literally go to like five different gas stations and ask for like, a cigarette, and they're like underage. They're like obviously a teen. And then they go to a gun show, and then they just buy a gun. Like, first person they ask, they just
really?
Buy a gun. I was like, that's yeah.
That should be illegal.
Yeah.
That cannot be happening. You should not just be giving guns willy-nilly to people. I think everyone has a right to own guns, but
with, you know, with certain requirements.
Yeah.
Like you should have some sort of like, you should, you know, have a clean record. And then also I you should also definitely have some sort of gun safety training.
Yeah,
for sure. Like there's a way to do it safely, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Obviously, we're never going to get rid of all of gun crime. That's mm-hmm. just how it is. And that's another thing. A lot of gun crime happens in, like, the inner cities where, you know, like, everyone is growing up in these struggling areas. So, like, there's a lot of crime and they feel the need to have those guns on them all the time. And a lot of gun violence happens in those areas. So I think first, we need to boost background checks, and then we also need to help our lower class. I think if we do those two things, and that's a big project right there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to happen overnight, I know, but I think if we help our lower class and boost background checks, that can enable people to carry out that Second Amendment right safely. I was similar to you. I was on going back to like banning just ARs and pistols. Or not pistols, but rather banning ARs and, you know, you can own pistols, rifles, or anything like that. I was sort of in agreement with that for a while, but after thinking about it, like, I was talking to Isaac before about how, you know, with cancel culture, one person might have a really good idea of like who to cancel, who to silence, and like there's no quips about it. Like if you silence the most evil person, like that's not necessarily a bad thing, but you know that person's not always going to be in control, and there's so many people who do that silencing. Like, the line will keep changing whether you want it to or not. Like, one day you'll be silencing like the most evil person, and then you push it a little more, like, oh, maybe they're just a little too conservative for your liking. And I think similar to guns, where if you ban ARs, that gives the government the precedent that, oh, we can ban this. Mm-hmm. You know, the next person in power can, you know, ban even more. And I just think it's like it's thin ice to walk on. Yeah. Once you give them that precedent.
I think there's I see what you mean, because that like reminds me of this one quote, but I don't remember where it's from. So this is kind of useless if I don't remember where it's from, but it's like, if you give the government power, they are very reluctant to give that back. Or that's like the essence of that quote. It's like, uh-huh. The more power you give, like, if you give the government some sort of power, you're not getting that back. Like, that's like, it's not like a two-way thing. Like, the government doesn't give up any power usually. I don't know, that kind of like went along that line. Like, it was just kind of going with what you were saying.
Yeah, it's. I think America has a good governmental system. I think the Constitution holds up pretty well. I think you need to have like a sort of a loose interpretation of it a little bit, but I think obviously there's some things that need to change in the country as the times change, of course, but I think overall I think the foundation of the country was a pretty good place. It was a pretty good place to start. But what was the point I was trying to get to? Oh, yeah. So it's the unfortunate consequence of our system is that it's so easy to make laws and put them into place compared to, you know, taking them out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get what you mean.
Yeah.
And with the rapid changes in power, that really, like...
Yeah, 4 years...
It can be pretty unproductive.
Yeah, I'm so confused about how much power the president actually has, because it seems like, oh, he has so much control over this. And I've heard people from other countries talk about how our president seems to have so much control compared to their leader. So I'm so confused about that. But regardless, 4 years in power is not a long time. And I think it's a good thing overall that we do keep switching the president, because we do need to have those changing ideologies. If we, you know, if we put someone up for
20 years, like that's too little is going to change. Mm-hmm. But I'm so sorry. It's so hard for me to lock in on my ideas. I don't remember where I was going with that. My ideology is that the government does need to have very limited power. I would call myself fiscally conservative, but socially liberal, in the sense that the government's power over people should be very limited, but they should also be there to, you know, help prop up people and help, you know, help people stay on their feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're like libertarian. You said, yeah.
I don't think I would call myself libertarian anymore. I used to be big into that, and the main thing was that I'm just so fed up with both the Republican and the Democratic mm-hmm. Party. Mm-hmm. I think the Republican policy is like there's good aspects to it, but they're socially behind a mm-hmm. little bit. And you know, Democrats are kind of the opposite. Like they're the Democratic Party just seems so fake to me. Like. Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot of it is a big act, and obviously it happens on both sides, but I think I'm not big into politics, but like the fact that we have Biden as a president, all right, this man who like is clearly struggling mentally, and I'm not doing too well either right now. I know, like I don't plan on being president, but I mean, like, have you seen some of the videos of him talking?
Unfortunately, he was not my top pick for presidential candidate, but I guess I'll take him.
Yeah, would you have voted Kanye West?
No, I wouldn't have.
I would have done it. not because I think he would be a good president, but I think just for the joke, like I knew he wouldn't win.
I think honestly, I like knowing that my vote wouldn't be impactful because the candidate I voted for likely wouldn't win. I still probably would have voted for, I think, Bernie over Yang, but Yang was pretty up there. I uh-huh. like Yang a bit, but he was really pushing UBI when it hasn't been like very, very tested.
Yeah.
But I mean, when it has been tested, it's been seemed to work out pretty well. But Sanders seems like, I don't know. I respect that a lot in some politicians where they're trying to make a positive difference and that is their goal.
Yeah.
And that is like, you can tell that is their main intent. I see that a lot with Sanders, and I
agree.
Yeah, like even if someone doesn't agree with Sanders, I think they would have like there's credit due in that sense that he seems like he's trying to make a difference.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know much about his policy, but I don't dislike him. I think he is a well-intentioned guy. I think if I had to put my top candidates up, it would be Tulsi Gabbard first. Have you heard of her?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know why she didn't like. Well, obviously she didn't get. She didn't win the Democratic nomination because she is kind of off the cuff. She's not. She doesn't like follow the status quo of politics. She is one of those people who is well intentioned and wants to bring change. And I guess the rest of the Democratic Party doesn't like that. But she's all right. First of all, she's a woman. She's a minority. She was born in Hawaii, so and like Hawaii gets unfortunately gets very underrepresented in our government, and she served in the military overseas, and she was a congresswoman, so she has that experience, and she's just like such an experienced person, and she like she's very well spoken, and like she does try to see that balance of okay, so. You know, there's two polar opposites. Mm-hmm. There's two opposing sides to this. Like, you know, one isn't going to be completely right about everything. There's got to be a balance somewhere. And that's something I really appreciated about her. Another thing I appreciated about her is that she didn't take anything from any companies or corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Her entire campaign was funded by donations from regular people. So it would be Tulsi Gabbard, and then Andrew Yang, and then probably Bernie third.
Yeah. I would highly recommend the Joe Rogan Bernie podcast.
That was a good one.
I listened to that and I was like, Bernie.
Yeah. No, I listened to that, but I honestly don't remember anything from it. No, but I don't dislike the guy. Unfortunately, in this last election, there just really wasn't a good main choice. If I wasn't going to vote for Kanye West as a joke, right? I would have voted Joe Jorgensen just because she's not one of she's just not one of the main two guys. It's so absurd to me that, you know, we had this old rich white guy in power, right? Mm-hmm. And then the Democratic Party's answer to that was another old rich white guy. Mm-hmm. And
he's not too much of like a dude trying to make change. He's very much so a politician, you know?
Uh-huh. Dude, and here's my hot take on Kamala Harris. it's Kamala, right? I pronounced that right?
I'm not sure, but I think so.
Dude, like, I'm glad that there is a woman vice president, but it seems like she was just kind of like handed her position, right? Like, she didn't actually earn it. They just realized, oh, we have an old white guy who's elected now, or who we're trying to elect now, and now we need something to balance that out.
Yeah, no, it felt very, very. It felt like when you have like when some movies just like put a black person in the movie for the sake of having a black, like it's just like the token black guy, and it's like it's like you had a good intention of like trying to have like representation. Absolutely. But there was that representation was just like it's there because of that. Like it's like a pity sort of thing, you know?
Yeah,
I would love to have. She's like half Jamaican, half Indian, I believe. Right?
Who? Kamala?
Kamala. Yeah.
Okay, I had no idea.
She's half Jamaican, half Indian, and then she's also a woman. And I would love to have that representation, but it feels so forced, and it feels like. Like, it feels inauthentic in that way. And it's, like, kind of, I don't know. I don't really like that. That it's, like, it, like, makes the race and the woman part of it, like, just, like a gimmick. It makes it, less serious than it actually is.
Yeah, like, and you have other individuals who, like, do fit those categories, but are much more credible people. Like, I'm a little biased here, but Tulsi Gabbard, all right, she's a minority, she's a woman, she's served overseas. Like, I don't see anything wrong with that pick other than the Democratic Party doesn't have as much control over her. And the thing with Kamala is that... like her and Bernie were so opposed during the debates, right? Mm-hmm. There was this one time where she told a story about herself, and the idea was to make Biden look like a racist and like a bad guy here. And then there was this shook me so much when I saw it. But she was on an interview with Stephen Colbert, right? And Stephen Colbert brought up, "Oh, hey, you and Biden seem to like really oppose each other. You seem like you didn't like him. You didn't like his policies. You didn't like his attitude towards people of color. You know, why is that?" And she just laughs at Stephen Colbert. She's like, "Ah, Stephen Colbert, it was a debate. Ah, ha, ha! It's literally in the name. It was so off-putting, and it was so fake because I don't think they agree on things.
Yeah.
How long do you think Biden's gonna last? How long until he kaputs and then Kamala's up in power?
I give him next question.
I give him till the end of the year. I don't. I don't know if you've watched like gaffes, like there's these video what are they called, the ones with like a bunch of clips in one video, what are they called,
a montage,
montages, yeah, thank you. But yeah, there's these montages of just Joe Biden gaffes of him like messing things up. Like there's this one time where he's at one of the debates and he's like, "Go to Joe or call Joe 3003 or something like that. And it was just like, no, he didn't say call. It was a website, but obviously that's not a website. Or like there's one of him going, oh yeah, we have billions and trillions, billion, trillion dollars. I'm butchering these, but they're so funny. Just if you're listening to this, just look it up. It's the funniest thing ever.
You're butchering it and somehow making it better.
Somehow it still sounds better than what he actually said. Oh, speaking of like government stuff, I got like 5 minutes to read before you came here. I was planning on like, I really had 10 minutes to read, but I got a little distracted, so I only read for 5 minutes. I read this thing, it kind of ties into this whole government thing, but it was actually about something that happened in India in the 19th century during British control. I was reading The Laws of Human Nature by Robert Greene, one of my favorite authors, by the way. But he talked about how in the 19th century in India there was this big cobra infestation. Like there were tons of cobras on the streets, and he talked about how the government put together this plan to eradicate the cobras. And basically the idea was to pay people for every cobra that they brought in. So like, it was just a bounty on all the cobras that you could get. Well-intentioned, right? Doesn't sound like a terrible plan, but there was a sort of unintended consequence to that where human ingenuity always prevails. So
wait, can I guess? Did they breed cobras?
Yep. people started breeding cobras so that after they got all these cobras just as sort of pets, they would kill them and bring them in. The number of cobras actually ended up increasing rather than decreasing just because of that. And it's just kind of this idea of, you know, government control not always that maybe it is well intentioned. I don't think everything is some big conspiracy, but I do think that a lot of times there's just unintended consequences that come about all the time.
Yeah, I used to be pretty libertarian, or like not libertarian, but like less government involvement, and now I'm not too sure where I stand. I think more government involvement is necessary here and stuff like that, but I'm definitely not like on a low government involvement idea anymore, but it's still like a moderate. I think that there's some things where it's like really necessary that the government intervenes. Like, I don't know, like my go-to example would be like the climate. Like,
yeah,
like the government really needs to intervene because there's almost no incentive for companies to do that on their own.
Yeah, incentives are very important. There's this, I forget what book I read about it in, basically when, because Australia, if you don't know like the backstory of Australia, it's basically the island of Australia is basically founded by prisoners, right? Like England, they would deport all their prisoners to Australia. And the thing is, when they first started doing that, captains were just paid to bring the prisoners there and come back. But the thing is that a lot of prisoners would die along the way. Mm-hmm. So what the government did instead is that they started paying the ship captains, the ones who were bringing these prisoners to Australia, they started paying them based on how many prisoners they bring to Australia alive. So I mean, this idea of how important the proper incentives are.
Yeah,
if you're just kind of paying people for, you know, just like their regular job, then you know, that they're not always going to provide the greatest amount of work.
Yeah.
But if you give them that, you know, specific incentive to not only do their job, but do it well, then the positive benefits are vastly better. Yeah.
I thought of this joke while you were talking a little while ago, but I was just now talking about how, like, I was like, oh my God, Google, they have these 200,000 salaries, and they go up and you get promoted after a few years, and they'll go up to like I think, like, I saw some salaries for, like, software engineers, just very late career, go up to, like, $1 million per year. I was just saying, like, all this stuff. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, Bernie. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like very, like, eat the rich, you know, that sort of thing. There's, uh-huh. there's huge wealth disparity in America. And at uh-huh. the same time, I'm unfortunately definitely going to be partaking in that.
Yeah. Look, I think if I was rich, I wouldn't mind paying taxes.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, if, like, it's so crazy to me that people like Jeff Bezos or even Elon Musk, like, they do whatever they can to pay as little taxes mm-hmm. as they can. And it's just like, really? Yeah. Like, you guys are, like, the top of the top of the food chain. You guys mm-hmm. are literally, like, and not just those two guys. It's literally literally every rich person ever. They do everything they can to get out of taxes. And it's just, like, you have all this. You couldn't, like, you are never going to spend all that money in your lifetime. Mm-hmm. Like, is it really so necessary that you avoid taxes at all costs?
Oh, you know what? That reminded me of one thing.
Yeah, what's up?
You said what companies I would want to work at. I missed this. I would also want to work at, like, SpaceX or, like, NASA or something.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would just be cool to be working on uh-huh. something that, like, could be space or important, you know?
Yeah. Dude, I was talking to Mike the last week about how I think...
Or, like, Neuralink.
Neuralink.
Working on that.
You're going to be the cool. guy to bring about the human instrumentality project from Neon Genesis. You're going to be the... Ayush Bulava is going to be the one melding everyone's minds together. I kind of... I started talking about that, and I realized that I didn't have a point to it, and I honestly wasn't enjoying talking about it. I didn't really care about it. So
if you want to cut that bit out, you could.
No.
Okay.
It's staying. Like... But I brought it back here, you see?
Okay,
I brought
exactly.
it back, so that's now why, it does serve yeah. a purpose.
Yeah.
So we went off on a bit of a tangent. I don't remember. Oh, yeah, so I was talking to Mike the last week about how I think that, you know, maybe not soon, but eventually we're going to have, you know, interplanetary travel. I don't think we're ever going to leave the solar system, but I think within the solar system, we're going to reach that point. And, like, dude, working on spaceships would just be cool.
That would be so cool. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, just, you know, being respect to like the people at NASA or SpaceX mm-hmm. for, like, you know, I don't think that there's necessarily a future on Mars or anything like that. Like I said earlier, human ingenuity seems to always prevail. So maybe we can make it work. But I think it would just be cool to have that opportunity to travel to other planets if you want it. Mm-hmm. If you had the opportunity to travel to Mars, because the ideas are in the works of, you know, having trips to Mars that you can't come back from, would you go?
Oh, that I can't come back from? Probably not. They're like, no way. Yeah. But a trip to Mars that lasted like 2 or 3 years even?
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like I might like that, you know?
Yeah.
Because this was pretty recent that they're talking about commercial space, like, trips.
Yeah.
That, like, that's actually a thing that's happening. And that, the price tag is really high, but that would be really cool, too.
Yeah, I'd want to come back, obviously. Mm-hmm. If you can't come back, like, then what's the point of going there? Yeah. There's nothing on Mars. No. Maybe there's some, like, cool geography, but, there, like, living there, like, there's not much there for you. Like, here we have grass, but there is, like, it's barren a little bit. It's just a bunch of rocks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be really cool to travel there. What's your favorite planet out of all of them?
Oh, I'm gonna
in the
go
solar
with,
system.
All right.
Are you counting like
my very evil mother just shot Uncle Ned's puppies? Not puppies.
Wait, what did you say? My uncle. Mary?
My very so Mar- my, Mercury, Mar- Venus, evil Earth. Mother, Mars, just Jupiter, shot Uncle Ned's puppies. And then Pluto wasn't that's a so planet, funny. And then it became Uncle Ned.
Uncle Ned. Uncle Ned. That's so funny.
I'd have to say Jupiter.
Jupiter?
But yeah. I don't like saying that because, like, everyone's like, oh, it's big, you know? Like, uh-huh. I feel like I don't like it for the big, I like it for the weather.
Yeah, dude, like that, it's that big red spot on Jupiter. It's crazy to think that that's just like a big storm, a giant storm that has been happening for who knows how long. Dude, yeah, and like, if I remember correctly, I might just be pulling this out of my ass, so this might be not be true, but I think I heard that like the entire I need a producer. You know, that's another thing. I've always had like I've been thinking, you know, if this podcast continues, like who, cuz if it does grow, I do want to expand. I do want to get more people on board. Right now I just do everything myself, but I was always thinking that, you know, if I ever had a producer, I always had you in mind.
Oh.
Yeah, because
that'd
like,
be fun. I would love the Googling stuff part, like the Jamie job.
Yeah, dude, like I had you in mind for that. You just seem perfect at it, like perfect for it. Because I don't know. You just seem like someone who would be able to like pull up things really fast. You could find like interesting articles. I don't know. You seem like you know your way around.
I would want to do that, yeah.
Yeah, dude, like it. If I don't know if I'll pay as well compared to like Facebook or Google, but you know, if the podcast grows, like there will always be a job opportunity for you here.
I was just thinking this. I want to throw this out there. I was just thinking, like, I have always been like, oh, I want to do a podcast. I don't think I ever will. I ever will. It would just be for fun, and I wouldn't put enough effort into it. I just like the idea of like talking to people and stuff like that. But it was like, you do a podcast, but you host it live, or like you do it live, so that some people can say things back if they want to, and you don't have to be like very attentive to them. But like a Jamie could be like reading out or like looking out for important things and popping them in, and you could respond to them live.
Yeah, that'd be super cool. Unfortunately, I just don't have that opportunity because I don't have a producer to like do that thing live. I think that would be something interesting to try out in the future. Yeah, so if you ever did a podcast, it would be similar in the sense that you just like bring people on, talk about things, and you know, maybe include them on like the conversations with the chat or whoever it is watching.
Yeah,
it'd be super cool. I mean, I know you just said that you probably wouldn't ever start one, but I think you'd be good at that. I'm surprised that I even wanted to start a podcast because I mean, you know me, I'm not like. I'm very introverted. I'm not much of a talker. I'm sure you could tell by like the beginning of this podcast. Like I'm not much of a conversationalist, really. Like if I really put my mind to it, if I really like really immerse myself in the conversation, I'm decent at it.
Mm-hmm. We got going, and then it became.
Yeah, it was a very hard start because like I was just tired. I was all over the place, but I am a little more like, you know, narrowed into this conversation now. So yeah, I'm so sorry about the awkward start. That was rough.
I mean, I didn't know what to talk about either.
So. Yeah, like dude, I remember we talked about like before we weren't even gonna think about conversation topics, which I usually don't plan conversation topics. In my mind, I'll have something in it, like, oh yeah, maybe I want to bring this up to them. But this time it was just like, we just went. I had nothing planned, nothing in my head before. I mean, I ask everyone like what their college plans are. So that was an easy one, but.
And then that led into, yeah.
That somehow led into politics and then somehow led into space. Like, it's kind of like. But that I think that whole thing is like the reason I do this podcast. I think it's just interesting to go into these different topics and like hear other people's ideas on it. But yeah, dude, like again, if you ever want to be like a producer on the show, if this ever turns into something,
I mean, I would like doing that.
I
might have a little trouble with the whole cameras and that whole like switching between all.
Yeah,
that,
I do all the cameras afterwards, just like in my editing software. That is basically the only editing I do for the podcast is like switching between the cameras. But even when I have the chance to like go back and fix it, it's still really hard to do the cameras. I have to admit. Kudos to like producers out there who can like switch the cameras and do like all the other stuff at the same time, because I could never. Mm-hmm. But yeah, dude. Anything else you want to talk about? We're only at 55 minutes. We can, but like that's fine if you want to wrap it up.
I'm not sure. I can keep going, but keep I'm going. Not sure.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm running out of things to say, but we can just make noises. Luke, can I say his last name? I thought about bringing him on the podcast. So, nah, I'll just leave it at Luke. Luke got me like this frog and this elephant here. It was for the Secret Santa that I don't think you were at. Weren't you the person who like organized it?
Yeah, I was there, and then like you know you need one person to organize and like not be a part of it. So I decided to I wouldn't do it because I didn't really want to do the Secret Santa.
Oh right.
I didn't want to guess because like low key really don't like Secret Santa because I like it's not that like I just feel like I wouldn't like the gift most of the time, and it's not like I'm just not like a huge things person because I don't like the clutter.
Yeah.
Like if I got something like this, like I would put it up because I do think they look really cool. Uh-huh. But I'd put it up in my room and then I just like forget about it. Like it wouldn't like affect me at all.
Yeah.
And then I just feel bad that I have it because I'm not going to get rid of it. The only way I'd get rid of it is like throw it away or something or like donate it.
Yeah. And you don't want to do it because it was like this gift that someone gave to you.
Yeah. So like I'm not a huge things person. And if I do want a thing, I just buy it because I really know I want that thing.
Yeah.
So that's why I wasn't like too into doing that.
Yeah, me too. Like money is probably just the best gift. No. Just give me some cash so that because I know what I want, I know what I need, and I don't really want anything else. Like these things were cool, but like, and I have them up. I'm grateful that you got them for me. But like, okay, so all right, I'm not
Luke,
trying.
Do not listen to this part.
Yeah, don't listen. Just leave because I'm about to shit on you hard. But okay. I'm not saying I got him a better gift, but I got.
Wait, would you? What was it?
I got him throwing knives.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I got him throwing knives. I got him the book, The Art of War, and then I got him this. It was like I should have gotten him warheads. It would have been way cooler, way funnier. Yeah. I should have gotten him warheads, but I got him like this like chocolate soldier dude. I mean, it, like the theme of his present was war. and then so I got him for Secret Santa, and he just happened to get me for Secret Santa, and he got me these two little these little figures here. They're literally from Goodwill. I think I took the stickers off, but they were each like $2.
By the way, I think that frog color is your color.
What do you mean? Like
that's like your color, you know, like your vibe.
Okay. I see it. I've thought about getting like a frog tattoo.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what would it look like?
It's a specific art piece. I don't think I could do like the exact art piece, just because tattoo artists usually don't like copying other work. But it's literally this art piece by I forgot.
Oh, I like that.
Have you seen it before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I forget who did it, but can I show this to the camera? I don't know if this is copyrighted, but whatever. It looks like that. Another reason I need a producer. I just have to show things to the cameras. I don't really mind it, but whatever. I go on so many tangents when I'm doing this podcast.
I think that's good. I think that's the essence of it.
I mean, it's just how I am, but I think it would be better if I like dialed into one thing at a time just so like we're not all over the place, because if you're listening to that, it's kind of jarring.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's hard for you to make your little segments, you know?
Yeah, it's hard. It's just a harder listen. But anyway, I thought about getting like that frog tattoo somewhere. I don't know. It just seems like frogs are just kind of a vibe, and this dude has like a similar vibe to him. He's just chilling. Like again, I'm not ungrateful for these, but you know, he got me these two little figures, like a frog and an elephant. Like he had the podcast in mind, so I put him up. I'm not ungrateful for them, but like this was supposed to be like a sub gift to like the other gift that he got me. That was like a bigger gift, and what he gave me, his main gift to me, was this like So Wendy's did this thing where if you bought this card, you could get free Frosties with every order for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool idea, right? But and like he thought it was really cool. Unfortunately, he wasn't the one who bought it, because after he gave it to me, everyone called him out and said, "Isn't that worth $2?" So he thought it. again, like he thought it was worth more because he didn't buy it himself. He got it from someone else, and he thought, you know, he could just regift it to me. But like, it was just like, you know, I got him this really cool thing. I got two little figures from Goodwill and a $2 Frosty coupon that I don't ever use. And then I don't think he knew this either, but in fine print, it's it says that it's only the junior Frosties. So it's like the tiniest one. I'm sorry, Luke, if you're listening.
Have you used it before?
No.
Have you used it? No.
I haven't. No. One time I did go to Wendy's one time, but I just bought a regular Frosty.
Yeah, I re-gift a lot of gifts.
Really? Just like stuff you don't like. What is probably the worst gift you've gotten someone?
A gift I've gotten someone?
Or yeah, given to someone, rather.
I don't remember, honestly. Nothing like terrible. It's just like something that like, oh, you know, they're just gonna re-gift that, you know? Yeah. Like it has no use to them, or it has little use to them, but not enough for them to keep it.
Me and Mike always get each other like these joke, like awful gifts that we do just pick up from Goodwill, and that is the intention behind it. Just to like give each other some crap gift that we don't actually want, but it's just like a funny thing, right? We usually get each other some CD that we picked up from Goodwill of some artist that we don't know. And it is cool, but so we usually get each other bad gifts, but I remember even before that, I stooped really low and just gave him a pack of ramen for his birthday. And I'm just like, oh, that was...
I'm sure I would like a pack of ramen more than a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was like... I could have just gotten him nothing. And I'm sure he ate that pack of ramen, but like it was worth like 11 cents. I did wrap it up, though. I'll say that. So it was a classy thing of ramen, but...
Yeah.
This is an awful noise.
Oh, actually, this was another career path I was considering.
Oh,
I'm just gonna answer this question. So a lot of people do like freelance coding. So this is where they're like,
oh, okay,
they'd like someone would post a job like for $1,000. Can you finish up this website or like do this or like for $100? Can you make this change on my website? Like,
yeah,
change it so that there's this new feature and like do that and properly do that. And I'd do that, and then you work at your own pace. You're not like houred, you know. And I'd want to do that for like a few years and just travel.
Literally
travel the world for cheap
to Mars.
I'm kidding. I don't know how people fund that.
Code from space.
But just travel the world for cheap. Just go to like cheap hotels. Just do like freelance coding at like for a few hours a day, and then, travel, go to cheap hotels, etc. Just that would be cool for a few years, just go around the world.
You get to travel at the same time as like doing your job. That would be really cool. That would be where would you want to go to?
Everywhere.
Just everywhere.
I have for some reason I really like Egypt. I really want to see Egypt.
Dude, the pyramids there, go crazy.
Everywhere, because nature and huge nature thing, like huge nature fan for like everything natural and stuff like that, like seeing natural beauty and stuff like that, but also like man-made beauty, all sorts of cool stuff to see.
Yeah.
So, but also for natural beauty, I'm a sucker for South America, like rainforests and stuff.
Oh yeah. Dude, I should have had you on last week when I talked about like all the different stuff about, because me and Mike talked a lot about nature.
Yeah.
And like, about
That was part of like going with the, if you had people on live, you know? Cause I like some of the stuff that you were saying on some of your podcasts, I was like, oh, I want to say something, you know? Something small. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but like, okay, South America. Is there like a specific part of South America that you want to go to, or just like
Brazil?
Brazil?
Rainforest. Like, yeah.
Would you be the person to go into the Amazon?
I would love to. Yep. I would love to. I was seeing this trip and it was like not too expensive. It was like pretty affordable. There's like a guide and you have like a group of eight people that you go with, and I don't remember how expensive it was, but it was like pretty affordable for a vacation. Mm-hmm. And it's like a week long trip, and you go through the Amazon. Like
really?
They have a path that they go through, and you know, stuff like that. And they've like cleared out, a little bit of cleared out space for you camp and you sleep in like hammocks and stuff.
Uh huh.
For parts of it, but like you're literally going through the Amazon with the guide, and it is so cool. Dude, I would love to do that, and like, yeah.
Yeah, that will be so cool. Well, Ayush, we are closing in on an hour, 6 minutes.
All right.
You want to wrap this up?
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything you want to plug? Most people don't seem to want to plug anything, but just out of politeness.
No, but if you would like to continue this conversation, if you know me, or if you'd want to say anything in response to anything that's been said here, that would be cool because I would love to continue talking. So just reach out to me if you know me.
Yep. All right. Or comment anything on the video portion. Maybe you'll come back to it.
Comment on the videos.
Okay.
Get Daniel his what's the word I'm looking for? Revenue. Interaction. No. Yeah. Like Leah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for being on, Ayush.
Sorry.
Yeah, dude, it was a lot of fun. Again, sorry for like the rough start, but it did pick up after a bit. So yeah, I'm super happy for that. So yeah, thank you for being on, and thank you for listening. Bye bye, everybody.